Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, what a blessing it is to be able to come together, sing congregational songs, hear special music, and then look into the very words of God. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 3. Acts in chapter 3. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the life of the Apostle Peter. The life of the Apostle Peter, and God has recorded that for us, and possibly more in a recording of Peter's life than any of the apostles that we have. And it's just a blessing to see that what God's recorded, how we can learn from that. And I trust we have been blessed by learning from the life of the Apostle Peter, seeing things from his perspective, from his eyes, and what God has recorded from that. We've seen, first of all, how that not only was he called to salvation, but then he was discipled by the Lord himself. And he discipled him to be one of his apostles, knowing what would be ahead of him and what he would be able to accomplish for the cause of Christ. And so we studied that. He has been discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus, of course, ascends up into heaven. He ascends up into heaven. As he ascends up into heaven, we find that he sends the Holy Spirit to the earth. As he had revealed to the disciples, and he had prepared them for this, that they would be empowered, especially the apostles. And this would be something that we would have with us throughout this New Testament church age. And that is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within the hearts of all believers, sealing us unto the day of redemption. And so that's what has taken place so far. As Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, then humanity experienced Pentecost. And as we look at Pentecost, we find that the Bible records it for us in the book of Acts and gives us the understanding and the meaning of it. And we've studied that. And the disciples are now sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And they spake in tongues that the languages of people that were there from all around the world, the Bible says. And they heard them speak in their own language. And this was the tongues movement in the apostolic age. Well, after they experienced Pentecost, then Peter preaches for the first time after the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And as he preaches, he connects Old Testament to Pentecost, the prophecies of the Old Testament to the coming of the Holy Spirit. He connects it to King David, as he presents to us the writings of David in the Old Testament, how that it was evidence of something that he knew that was going to be coming in a matter of time to the earth. And then he connects Pentecost to Jesus Christ, as Jesus had been there and had taught them and prepared them for the coming of another comforter that would dwell within them and lead, guide, and direct them. And then he connects it to the apostles as well. And after he preaches his message after Pentecost, 3,000 walk the aisles, get saved, and are baptized and added to the church. What a tremendous, I mean, you know, we've had some great revivals here at Lighthouse, and we've seen a lot of souls get saved. We've seen the altars filled with the decisions being made. But can you imagine after Peter's preaching and the invitation was given, and 3,000 at one time, you know, in Jerusalem, come to receive Christ and are baptized? Well, that's what we've studied up to now, amen? And what a blessing it's been to see all that taking place. Now in Acts chapter 3, we find the first apostolic miracle of healing. In the apostolic age, we know that it was a different time It was something that would transition. It was a time that would transition Old Testament law into New Testament biblical Christianity, the New Testament biblical church age. And this would be after Peter's preaching, the first apostolic miracle. So go ahead and stand with me. Let's go ahead and read here Acts chapter 3. We're going to be reading and studying verse 1 down to verse 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, a lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and alms, Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And again, Lord, we thank you for opportunity that we make available to us just to feed upon the words of God. And pray for those that are here in this auditorium, as well as those that are watching a live feed, that God, that you would meet with us individually and collectively, that we would each and every one sense your presence. I pray, God, that you would empower me once again to preach your message. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So the apostolic age has been recorded in the book of Acts for New Testament Christianity. And it's been going on, as you hear me say this all the time, for some 2,000 years. And we have this recorded because there's so much that God would have us to learn from the apostolic age as it's transitioning the Old Testament law to the biblical church age. It reveals, first of all, that God has a plan for time and humanity. Now, we cannot lose sight of that. It's something that the Old Testament saints could not lose sight of. It's something that they believed on by faith, that there would be a Savior, there would be a Messiah. And God gave them instructions on how they were to live their life and looking forward to the coming of a deliverer, or the coming of a Messiah. And there was purpose for that time and how it would impact humanity. God was very much aware of Old Testament times. He was very much aware of humanity in each and every one of these dispensations of time. Jesus understood that he came in the fullness of time. God knew how that his coming would impact humanity. He realized that in time he would ascend up into heaven. He would understand how that would impact humanity. He knew that he would send the Holy Spirit of God. He knew that there would be a Pentecost. He knew that there would be an apostolic age. And and how that would impact humanity. The time. Two things. Two most important things that God is very much aware of all the time. Time and humanity. God created, designed time for humanity. And so in every dispensation of time, God is very much aware of what he is accomplishing and what he is going to accomplish in that period of time concerning humanity. But that'll help us even today. Because today God's plan for time and timing is for the next fulfillment of prophecy. Can I tell you that God knows what time that we're living in, 21st century? God knows what would happen in this time. And as he has us in this time, he is focused on the timing of the next fulfillment of prophecy and how it's going to impact humanity. The time and age that we're living in right now, can I tell you, even as the United States of America, as a church age, God was very much aware of this experience that we've been going through for some time now. It just didn't happen. It was just not something that just come out of nowhere. Can I tell you that God is very much aware of time and the timing of time and how it will impact humanity? How it'll impact his church. Because the next fulfillment of prophecy is rapturing the church from earth. The very same awareness of time when Jesus resurrected, when he ascended to heaven, when he sent the Holy Spirit. All this was done in God's timing, placed in time. Can I tell you what we have experienced over the last several months is in preparation. I don't know exactly how it's going to prepare. I don't know exactly how it's going to fit into the timing of the rapture, but it is going to, because God is in control of time. And time is with us to impact humanity. That the lost might be saved. And the saved might be able to serve God and store up riches in heaven. Preparing for eternal things. So we go back to Acts in chapter 3. The apostolic age was the time that God was designed to use for the next prophecy of the church age. And this was the God's timing, you know, and what has taken place here to get things ready for New Testament biblical church age. Before they would have the Bible fully fulfilled and prepared for the New Testament church, this apostolic time. So it's that transitional time from Old Testament to New Testament, from the law to the Bible. All this designed in this timing of time to prepare for and to usher in. Now, Jesus Christ established the church age. He's established his church. Now he's using this apostolic timing for this New Testament church age. So here we find that after Peter's preaching and after he acknowledges 3,000 souls saved and baptized, and his focus is on the church, because he knew that Jesus established the church and he had a part to play as an apostle during the apostolic age, the temple, which had been symbolic for the place, the house of God, the house of prayer and prayer. And so chapter 3 and verse 1, we find here, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple. That temple still has a meaning, but it's not the church. But they went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So as we look right here, it's important that we understand the differences here. Peter's focus was on the church, but the church was not the temple. The temple is still somewhat connected to the Old Testament. Jesus established the church, and the church in this first century would actually assemble in the temple. At this particular time right here, during the apostolic age, they would go out from there and they would establish their own churches. And then with their own churches in every area, they would have pastors, they would have deacons. So all this is becoming to flourishing as Jesus would establish this. But at this time, they were working toward that, transitioning. And so the church was not the temple. They assembled in the temple at this time. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 and verse 47. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking in bread from house to house. That's the church. They went to the temple, but they break in bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the church was coming together. The church during this time was being strengthened. The apostles were leading the church. The temple was still a place that was connected to the awareness of God. And they would actually go to the temple and they would present the true temple. So Peter had his mind focused on these three things as he goes to the temple. He has focus on the church. How God would use the temple in him and prayer. Because, boy, these are three very important things that was needed. And not only were they needed in the apostolic age, they're needed in our age. So as they're going up there, then the next thing that the Bible reveals to us that takes place, getting ready for this first apostolic miracle of healing, we have to have the reason of a healing and someone needing healed. It was not just for the physical purpose, but there was so much more in connecting this healing to the church, possibly to the temple as well. And prayer. So verse 2, it says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. Didn't go into the temple. He laid at the outside of the temple, at the gate, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Even though he was not looking to go into the temple, he was at the gate of the temple for a reason. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he wanted to be there to address those that are going into the temple for alms. Ask and alms, a handout. So, as Peter was focused on spiritual things, God had a task for Peter. There was a, if you would, a professional beggar that he would come in contact with. As far as we know, this beggar had no spiritual knowledge. He was not going to the temple for the church, nor was he going to the temple for prayer. He was going to the temple. It was the way of life for him. It wasn't a spiritual reason that he was in church. It was just how he was raised. It's just part of his life. That was his life. As part of his life, he knew where to be laid and when to beg. You look at that and you think, what a terrible life. The thing that kept him from the spiritual life was this infirmity of the flesh that he was bound by. And this is symbolic of sin. It's symbolic of that which binds man to a certain lifestyle. And so as we look here, it says, and the certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily. It just, every day, this was his life. And he knew where to be laid, at the gate. Because people would have to come through the gate here, and this is the gate that, the front door to the church, if you will. This is the door that everybody wanted to come through because this was the most beautiful door to go in. And so he knew that he would find more people going to church if he was laid there. So his desires was just to be laid in the right place so that he could get the most out of those coming in to live by. So he knew where to be laid. And then he knew that he would wait and when to beg. In verse 3, and whom seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple. Peter, again, spiritual. He's going to the temple because of the church and because of prayer. And he had spiritual things in mind. And before he would step through the doors of the temple, then this beggar understood that anybody going into the doors of the temple, they wanted to feel good about themselves, and so they would be the most obvious ones to ask them to be givers before they go into the church so you can feel good about yourself. And he did this every day. Not for spiritual reasons. It's his life. Every day. It was his carnal life with no spiritual connection to God. Well, something had changed. Peter knew of the change that Jesus had made in time. This was a new dispensation of time. Peter knew that. The beggar didn't know that. He was just living another day of his miserable life. He had no clue what he was going to face that day. The opportunities that would be presented to him because of Peter. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him, and with John said, "Look on us." Now, Peter's voice, sometimes I've read that before and I thought, yeah, he was thundering out, but I don't really know that he was. I think that this beggar heard a voice of concern. This beggar heard a voice of somebody that was about to help him. He had probably experienced every voice that you can imagine coming through there, some maybe kicking them to the side, Some telling him, get a job. And so he would have been there his whole life. That was just, I mean, this was his profession. He was a professional beggar, if you will. And he heard the voice of Peter. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. That tells me that he knew how to discern between those that would show mercy and those that would not. So Peter looks at him, and this is, again, the beginning of the New Testament church age. This is the beginning of having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is the beginning of a cure for humanity. Something that would change their lives. As we're ushering in the New Testament church age. Which would be available to all, Jews and Gentiles, cripples, blind. He didn't know that. The lost do not see time. Lost do not understand that God has a design for time. They do not see that what has taken place today is in preparation for the next act of prophecy, the fulfillment of prophecy. Therefore, they're not going to get out of it what we can get out of it as a church. They're not going to be able to have the peace of God in the midst of it. They are not going to be able to find a purpose in the midst of it because they don't understand the timing of time. Peter did. Peter knew of the change that Jesus had made in time. And there was a cure had been made available, spiritual life for all. I love that. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Because that's really not what's important here. It's not going to cure your problem. It's not going to allow you to get up and walk. It's not going to get you into the church. It's not going to get you into the temple. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name, and this is the key, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who has ushered in a new age, has brought to us a cure for anything and everything that would be opposite the will of God for your life. That would get you into the temple instead of having you stay outside the temple. That'll give you a meaning of life instead of living this same old carnal life that every other lost person is living. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Experience a cure. You see, in verse 6, the source of the cure was and is Jesus. Whatever is hindering you from a blessed life, whatever is hindering you from a walk with God, whatever hindering you from the peace of that God can give you and the joy of the Lord, whatever hinders you from receiving what God has for you, the cure for whatever it is Jesus Christ. Whether it's salvation or a dedication or an identification, Jesus Christ is who we need to look to for salvation, for identity, for identification. Who am I? Why am I here? What have I have to accomplish? The source of the cure, Jesus. I love this because the next thing in verse 7 it says, then he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was crippled because there was no strength in his ankle bones, his feet. Been crippled for life since birth. The time needed to be cured is immediately. He said, the source, the person I have to introduce you to is Jesus Christ. And what he can do for you is to change your life. It's more important that you receive him than any amount of silver or gold. And the timing of receiving him and getting what you have need of is instantaneous. When you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you become a new creature in Christ. You become a child of God. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah, amen. That moment, your life can change. Your life does change whether you realize it or not. The moment you get saved, you become a new creature. And old things are past, and behold, all things become new. They're becoming new. And when you realize that what you have in Christ, wow, what a difference. What a difference it can make. Because then the change associated with receiving Christ, and he leaping up stood and walked. For the first time, he experienced something he had never experienced in his existence. And entering with them into the temple. I got to underline that. The change would be, now I have a desire to know more about the God of the temple. I need to know more about Jesus as being Lord of the Lords and King of Kings. I no longer want to be outside the temple. I want to go inside the temple. I no longer want to be outside the church doors. I want to be a part of the church. I want to be inside the church. It's a change. Something in me. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that places a desire in my heart to get closer to my Lord. Yeah. Walking and leaping, and a very important thing here in changing a life, praising God. Yeah, praising God. In closing this evening, the last is the impact that this cure had. Because it's the same impact that it can have on our lives. The crippled. He's now inside the temple, holding on to Peter, the one who introduced him to the cure. An extended family. The cripple, not only does he now have this healing, and now does he have a purpose of life, he's inside. He's a part of Christ's church. He has an extended family. There's something about church family. This is the beginning of the New Testament church age, because If you're saved, you need the church family. If you're lost, you need to get saved and have the benefits of the church family. But it's part of New Testament Christianity. The church is a part of our lives. It's not the building. It's our connection to Christ as his body and his bride. Yeah. Verse 9 and 10, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they, now the emphasis on how his life impacted the church. Are you getting this? And all the people saw. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. The impact that the cure has is not only an impact on that individual, it's how God uses that individual who just got saved to impact the church. His testimony encouraged the whole congregation. Can I tell you, everyone that comes into this church has a testimony. One of my favorite nights of the year is our praise night service, and where we have, and I get to choose and pray, but I get to introduce you to people that you might have never known their testimony. And when they stand up here and give their testimony, how it impacts the church, and the people rejoice over what God did for them, how God worked in their lives. And when you see how God works in other people's lives, it does something for us. You have a testimony that can be an encouragement to other church members. That's the New Testament church. This was the ushering into the apostolic age to help us to understand more about the New Testament church. Then lastly, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. I can picture that. Can't you just see him so excited, so thankful that God healed him, but then understanding that if it had not been for Peter being the witness that God wanted him to be, it had not been for Peter introducing him to the cure, helping him to see that he needed to find Jesus Christ and look to Jesus Christ, he wouldn't have what he had. And he was so appreciative to have what he had. And he held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. It impacted Peter. Because Peter didn't know that he was there, I don't think. Peter was going to the temple because he knew that the temple still had a place where people needed to hear Jesus Christ, and the church was assembling in the temple, but the temple wasn't the church. And he wanted to get them together, and he wanted to present Christ, and he wanted to pray. But God gave him a crippled man to heal, the first apostolic healing, so he could take him into the church. And not only could they see his life change, but he could see the impact on the church, and Peter would actually be able to see how God had brought it all together. He's standing there seeing this man who now he's walking and he's hugging on to him. I could see Eli. Yeah, amen, you know. I could just see that type of excitement about thank you, thank you, thank you. And Peter standing there says, it's really not me, but what a blessing it is to be able to serve the God of all gods and to see what the God of all gods can do for individuals. And I get to be a part of that. Peter has experienced the joy of being able to be a part of the work of Christ. In this New Testament church age, listen to me, believers. Listen to me, church. We get to be a part of the greatest work that has taken place on planet Earth. And we are coming to the very end of our opportunities because the rapture's near. Prophecy is unfolding all around us. Let's not give up on the work that we still have to do. Amen. If I could have every head bowed. What a blessing to see Peter now. In the beginning of the apostolic age, and how God has recorded it for us. He's ushering in the apostolic age. He's ushering in the New Testament church age through the apostolic age. And we're here possibly ushering it out, bringing it to a conclusion. Yeah. I think we're in exciting times as well. Let's don't lose sight of the privilege and the opportunities we have to serve the Lord. Father, we bow before you now. We thank you for the truth of this message of the life of the Apostle Peter. And I pray that it would be a help and a blessing to all that just heard it preach. And I pray, God, that we would be ready to make whatever decisions that you'd have us to make. Use it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.